Folks, that didn't sound like it's a very good evening. I guess we didn't get our naps out this afternoon, right? Good evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I played football, and I played baseball, and I wrestled and run track. But Brother Lawson, I wish I'd learned how to play an instrument. These instruments are so beautiful. I'd give all the letters and all the trophies and everything away in a moment to go back and just be able to play something. But we're blessed. We're blessed with a good pastor. We're blessed with some good preachers and deacons. And we're blessed with some fine musicians. And I don't take that lightly. I appreciate it. I desire your prayers this evening. I'm nervous. You say, well, Brother Tom, you're an old preacher. I'm an old preacher. It's been nervous every time he's ever stepped behind the pulpit because it's so serious. It's a privilege, one I do not deserve, but it's so serious when you do that, when you open up the Word of God and declare it. So I need your prayers. I'm really nervous tonight. Extra nervous for some reason. Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be reading from two verses, and that'll be Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. And we'll flip right over to Jeremiah chapter number 29, and we'll read verse number 11, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bring what He's laid on my heart. Jeremiah chapter number 1. In verse number 5, the Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Now ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now one more verse, verse number 11 in chapter number 29. And this is the Lord speaking, and He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for the good preaching this morning. I was fed from it, Lord, and I appreciate it so much. I thank you for these dear folks that came to the house of God tonight looking to be fed from your word. But God, you know I can't feed them. I don't know how. God, it'll only happen if you, Lord, you do the preaching. God, I know you put a calling on me a long time ago, and I ask one more time. I don't know how many more times I'll have, but one more time, Lord, clothe me in that calling. Help me to feed your people. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let them see Jesus and nothing else, and I'll be very careful to give you the praise and the glory and honor for it, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm a dinosaur, I guess, even though I played all those sports when I was younger. I loved to read books. I did. There was just something about it. I'd get a book and get into my bedroom and get to where it was quiet. And it was just something about touching a book and that cover. And you'd open the cover and you'd go to page one, you'd start to read. And there was just something so special about that. And I know we can read about anything from our phones, from our tablets, from our texts. But there's something about the smell of an old book and the feel of turning that one page at a time. And just continuing through it until you get to the end and see the end that the author desired. And so I'm going to try to speak to you a little bit tonight about some books with the help of the Lord, I hope. Now, beloved, whether we realize it or not, each one of us sitting here under the sound of the Word of God need to realize, whether we like it or not, that our lives are a book that's written by the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
And whether we realize it or not, or we like it, He's the author of our lives, And he's the God that numbers the pages. As a matter of fact, a lot of people worry about when they're going to die and how they're going to die. I'm going to tell you something. He'll decide when the last chapter, in the last book of your life, he'll put the period on the end of it, and he'll bring it to a close. Now, he decides when the last chapter. You may be thinking, preacher, if our lives are a book written by God Almighty, and do you agree with me? Before he formed you, he wanted you to do something. He had a plan for your life. God doesn't just give us life and toss us out here. I mean, that wouldn't be a very good father, would it? Just toss out here and say, work it out on your own. I hope everything works out good. He didn't do that. Before we ever were conceived, God had a book and a plan for what he wanted you and I to do on this earth and in the age to come. Now, you say, well, preacher, if God's the author of the book, how come so many Christians and so many people seem to be sitting around not knowing what to do? And they're sitting around feeling as if they're empty inside. And they're sitting around and they're just holding down the pew until the shout comes. God, if God has written a book for every life in here, why do so many Christians feel that way? I think that's a good question. Don't you? You agree? It's a good question. And it's not only a good question, but if you know the answer to that, and I know the answer to that, then what will take place is we'll have an epiphany. And that's a big word, isn't it? Epiphany. What is an epiphany? Well, as best I can as a country preacher, I'll tell you. An epiphany is one of those moments. I mean, where all of a sudden, I see it. I recognize it. Finally, what was once a mystery to us becomes crystal clear. And not only does it become crystal clear, but it becomes so clear that it's such a revelation that it has every possibility of changing our lives from that point forward. That's what I want to preach to you tonight. There's some epiphanies from God. There's a moment in our life tonight that if we'll see what God's trying to say, he can change your life. And if it's empty, he can fill it up. Not only fill it up, but fill it up to overflowing. I'm glad he wrote a book and I didn't just have Brother Lawson run around here trying to figure it out. I'm glad he didn't. Now, I believe the problem why, even though God wrote us a book of our lives, even though he had a design, Brother Sean, for you and me and for all his children, I believe the problem is that far too often we don't open the pages. Amen. You can have the best book written by the best author who had the best knowledge in this world and even had wisdom, but you cannot get anything from it unless you open the book. Why are they lost people? They never got to the point to get to where they opened the cover and saw what God had for them and how much he loved them. Why do Christians have no power? Because they did not open the book. Or maybe if they did open it, they skipped a page here and there. You ever tried to, you're so enjoying the book so good, you said, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit. And you get toward the end and you realize what a tragedy it was that you did that, because you didn't find out what happened between the beginning and the end. So you had to go back to where you jumped the page and you got to reread it. Or I think maybe some problems why we don't have full lives and happy lives and lives full of the power of God is maybe, just maybe, we open up one of his pages, we write one of ours, which is our will, and we slip it in between the page. You talk about messing up the book, that's a good way to do it. When you got a good book that's good for you, and that's going to help you, and that's going to strengthen you, and that's going to educate you, and it's going to give you wisdom, you cannot go ahead and decide to change it and slip something into the middle of it. You ever did that? You ever did that since you was a child of God? You decided maybe you need to interpret what God wanted for you, spiritualize it away, or make it just a little bit different, and you destroyed exactly what God meant for you. That's why there's so many interpretations of what the Word of God says. You know what happens? They read what thus says the Word of God. It said it. It can say it. It can say it 10 times. And yet there's some people decide they're going to just go ahead and rewrite it and slip something in between the page. And they're off doctrine from there on. Not only are they off doctrinally, but they've got to turn around. And since they made a personal change to what God said, they've got to turn around now and they've got to stretch and pull and work at trying to make it mean what they're trying to say it means. Amen. I don't like to add pages in between the book of God. I don't. Too often we add some pads in between it. You know, there's nothing worse, nothing more heartbreaking than to see a Christian that God had a plan for that left some pages unopened, or they skipped over some pages of his plan, or they decided, because what he had for them might seem like it might be a little hard, they slipped a change in between it. There's nothing worse than a child of God that's left pages unopened and are trying to live in this life apart from his will. Nothing worse. Nothing more miserable. Nothing more miserable. We need to do what the book says. You realize that what God gave for our life, the book he wrote for your life, the intention for your life, was exactly what was for your good and his glory and to benefit others so that they could see what a life filled with what God wanted could make in their lives and draw it to them. It's awful quiet. Well, it's quiet when he gave it to me. I got it pretty rough. He set me down for a while and showed me some skip pages, Brother Austin. He showed me some changes I've made. He showed me some things that I needed to correct. And it made a difference to me. God intends for your life and my life to have purpose. Let me ask you something, preachers. How many people do you find that have no idea what God's purpose is for their life? Preacher, what do you think God wants me to do? I said, ask God. I'm just like you. I need to hear what he wants for me instead of what somebody else Amen. Thinks he wants for me. He wants for our lives to have purpose, to have meaning, to live lives that benefits others and are so different. That is so strange to other people that they've just got to find out what made that difference in your life. Now, I believe we need to live a life, if we're going to do that, if we're going to follow the plan of God, we need to live a life that's surrendered unto God. Amen. It don't make any difference what you think or what you want to do. If you're going to have a life filled with the will of God and filled with purpose, you first of all got to surrender your will to him. I mean, his own darling son said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the start of it. We've got to live a life that's his will, his way, his timing, his power, for his glory, leaving no pages unturned. Beloved, we all like to hear about eschatology, right? We want to know what's going to happen. Nothing wrong with that. But it don't do any good to know what's going to happen if you're defeated in the now and you're just sitting here not doing anything but waiting for the shout. By the way, eschatology won't keep you out of hell, won't get you to heaven. but find out what God's will was, and what he has says will, and it's through his son. There's absolutely no such thing as a simple Christian. Now I've talked to a lot of folks that said, well, it doesn't make any difference what I do. I'm just a simple Christian. And my eyes go crossed. May I inform you tonight that there's no such thing as a simple Christian? Amen. God bought you with his blood. God purchased you at a great cost. And when God bought you and God purchased you and you accepted him by faith through the finished work of Christ, he filled you with the greatest power that the world could ever hope to see. And that's the Holy Ghost of God. I don't know how many people like Andy Griffith. I watch him. I still watch him. How many saw that episode about that goat that got into the dynamite? That was a simple goat, wasn't it? Until he got filled with the dynamite. And when he got filled with the dynamite, people began to take notice that there was something special about that goat. As a matter of fact, Barney got the goat mad, and the goat started, and Andy was saying, "Whoa, down here, Barney. That's a loaded goat." You say, "You're so simple, Brother Tom." I am, but I'm happy in my simplicity. Do you know what they're afraid of? Once that goat got shook up, there's going to be some dynamite go off. And you may be sitting here tonight thinking, "I'm just a simple Christian. What difference could my life make?" You're filled with more power than that goat could ever hope to ate and got. You're filled with the power of God, the power that changes hearts, the power that comforts, the power that had a part in the creation of everything we see. I wonder what would happen if we just go ahead and read the books that God wrote for our lives and got just a little bit shook up as Christians. I guarantee these people don't believe in a power-filled Christian would get some fear in them. But you've got to turn it over to God. Amen? Now, in Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul talks about and makes it very clear that he wanted nothing, absolutely nothing, to hinder his walk with God. Not one thing. As a matter of fact, he says, "I don't look back to the past." A lot of Christians got no power because they don't want to read the book any further and are stuck in the past. Well, the past is over. You can't change the past. You can't redo the past. It's in the past. Paul said, "I'm not looking to the past. I don't look backwards." But there's something else he said. He said, "I look forward." Amen. Here's a man that was a murderer, a blasphemer. I mean, respected by other people around him. But God stopped him in his tracks. He said, "Paul, you've been reading from the wrong book." He said, "I wrote a book for your life before you became a Pharisee. I wrote a book for your life before you were ever conceived or born. Paul, I had a plan for you before you ever knew I truly existed, and you've been reading from the wrong book." And when Paul got that, Paul charged forward. He did not want to let anything happen. Paul said, "I'm not skipping a page. I'm not rewriting nothing. I'm not speeding through it. God, I'm going to finish this with the purpose and the power and the privilege that you gave me." I think that'd be a good idea for all Christians, wouldn't it? He wasn't going to have any unopened pages. Now, I don't know whether y'all know, I've known a lot of you for, I don't know, some of you decades, Brother Roger. You probably remember me when I had a big black beard and long bushy hair. Things have changed. I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know how many years I have left. I don't worry about how many, but I am concerned with what I let God do with the days that He's numbered for me. You say, well, Brother Tom, don't you want to have some fun before you die? I'm having fun right now. Amen. With God's people. Open up God's word. Trying to explain what God wants us to do. I'm having a good time. Hey, I was on the national football team. Not as much enjoyment as there is up here. That was a great thing. Got me some bad knees and eventually an operation, I think. But God's never done me any harm doing what He wanted me to do. You see, folks, I want to live up to the potential He has for me. Don't you? Don't you? Do you want to finish this thing well? I mean, nobody should want to finish like this. Do you know what? If you sit like this and you sit back and you do nothing and you don't read the Word of God, you don't listen to what God's plan is, you don't get in touch with Him and talk to Him what you did, you emphatically went, I'm done with the book of Eli.
Yes.
And that's exactly how your lives will look to everybody around them. And that's exactly what happened to you, Joel. Your brother Tom, that's a little rough. Well, I never said God wasn't rough. Some people think God never gets upset with us. I think they're crippled too high for crutches. They need some help. God sometimes gets, I mean, think about it. You love your kid, don't you? I reckon you've got upset with them a time or two. Listen, we must open the pages. If we're going to do it, we have to open the pages of this blessed book. When I was up at Union Chapel, got together with some men and some of the younger teenagers, and we found us a map, and we mapped out an area to go visit. And we would talk to people about God loves them and the plan of God. And Brother Lawson, sometimes we visit our own people. You'd be surprised how many times during those visits there was a table fall. Found out preacher so-and-so's at the door. And guess what? The Bible didn't get dusted. You've got to open this book, folks. Amen. You're not going to find out the will of God without it. If you don't open up this book and read it and study it and apply it to your heart, God wrote it and preserved it so that you could learn it and so you could walk in it. Amen. Not to use it for some kind of whatnot on the table. If you live your life without looking in this book, you know what you are. You're a tumbleweed. Anybody watch Westerns? Tumbleweed goes where there's something dry, the land's dry around it, and the wind blows it just wherever it wants to. I think there was an old country song made years ago, maybe Rob knew about a tumbling weed, but it's what we are sometimes without this book. We are aiming at absolutely nothing. We're just like a shotgun blasted up in the air. We don't hit nothing either. We've got to stay in this book. Amen. You see, in this book, in the page of this blessed book, when you open it, it shows you the heart of God. It shows you what He likes, what He don't like. It shows you the path of God for you. How'd you find out you were called to preach, Brother Tom? Well, I argued with God at first. But God opened up the book, and He put His finger on it. And He said, you want proof? There's proof. What'd you do? I quit tearing the sheets up, and I went to preaching. I did what He asked me to do. You'll find His path for you. It shows you the enemy's plans. But Lost, you was in the military. It's pretty hard to fight when you had no idea where the enemy was or what he was up to. There's a lot of casualties take place in that type of fighting. I want to know what he's up to. Kathy and I were talking. She says, why do Christians fail? I said, because they don't flee when the devil comes up and tries to put pressure on, they don't flee. Any of you ever ride horses? I used to have a lot of them. Well, you know what a horse is? A horse is big and strong. I mean, they'll tear up fences. They'll turn over stuff. And you don't want their hoofs coming down on you when they're upset. But you know what you'll find a horse's first move when he feels threatened is? I found out one day when I was riding up through the field, and a paper plastic bag come flying out of the fence row. That horse that I had raised, that horse that I knew very well, its first defense was to go sideways and wide open that way. That's what you ought to do when the devil comes messing around. You don't hang around with him. You get away from him. You flee it so that you don't fail and you don't stumble and you don't become shipwrecked. That's how important this book is. In it, you don't just find knowledge. This book is full of knowledge. But it's got something better than knowledge. It's got the wisdom of the Most High God. So you want to be smart? Look at the wisdom in this thing. And if in it, you'll find comfort when you're grieving, comfort when you're hurting, comfort when you feel like you're trapped. There's comfort in the pages of this book. And in it, you'll find God's plan for you. You just got to get in it. Now listen to me. To leave these pages unturned means you miss the high calling of God for your life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people read it between Sunday morning and Wednesday night or Sunday to Sunday. That puts you on the spot. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Lucas, if I get busy, when I used to run all these jobs for Southern Stucco and I get real busy and I just slack off a little bit from this, I lost power, Brother Lawson. I lost peace. I lost comfort. You know what I decided? The job was from the time I hit the job until I come home. It didn't interfere with the things of God. You can't live that way. If you want to have a fruitful Christian life, you can't just drift along. You've got to have a plan, and it's got to be God's plan. Now, began your life with a plan, with some things He intended for you to do. And I want you to understand something. You ever wonder how come some people get used more of God than other people get used? Good question, isn't it? Bible says He's not a respecter of persons. He don't love Pastor Lawson or Brother Roger or Brother Beck. He don't love any of them more than He does you. Amen. Why do you think we're fixing to celebrate 50 years of service in this church and 80 years still left? Why do you think we're going to do that? Well, He just liked Pastor Lawson more. No. No, He don't like him any more than He does you. You know why? Because the Pastor Lawson decided and found the perfect will of God for his life. See, there's two wills for a Christian. There's a perfect will where you're right in the book, reading the pages that God's prepared for you. You're doing what God called you to do. You know God called you to do that. You're safe in what you're doing. You're hanging on and sticking with God. That's the perfect will. But God's also got a permissive will. Big difference between perfect and permissive. Permissive will means that you're giving some of your life to God. God don't waste nothing. You're giving God some of your time. You're reading His plan for your life some of the time. You're willing to give some to Him, but not all to Him. And God takes that permissive will, and He does what He can with your life and my life, or you can get dead in the center of His will, and He'll give you His perfect will that's filled with power. Now, I didn't say it's filled with ease. Brother Lawson, you have any problems ever? I know, I've covered this church for 14 years. I've watched you go through a lot of them. Watch a lot of you go through them. Don't mean that you don't have problems. But it means you're so much into the pages that he had booked for your life. You're so much in the pages of what he wants for you that you stick like glue where he puts you and you do what he called you to do. Amen or oh me. Amen. You see, he has a perfect will, but you give him permissive will, a little bit of you, and he'll do what he can for you. That verse of scripture we read where he says, I have a perfect end for you. You know, when you read it, some people, I think they mistranslate, misread that, what it intends. What it's talking about, I think, is that we're like strands. Anybody ever owned a rope? Do you ever see a rope that just made solid from the beginning? There's something took place. There was these little strands that could hold a little something, but they could break. They could pop. And so what they do is they build this rope, make this rope, is they take a strand at a time and they begin to weave. And they add another strand and another strand and another strand, and they weave and they weave and they weave until you've got a rope that you can't break. That's what God wants to do with your life. Amen. He wants to take your life and let you and you instill his connection to you and to weave your life in this life and in this short term of this life and through all eternity into something that will never end and never break and never give and never fall and always be in his will. How many people's accomplished that yet? No hands. Well, I think we need to start turning what God wants for our lives over to him. We fall far too easy sometimes. Why does God seem to use others more than he does some others? Because some of the others are willing to follow what he designed for them and to turn it over to him. Amen. Not skip pages, not change pages. Just trust in God. Now, also if you're going to do this, we're going to be able to accomplish this, we must open the pages of prayer. That's the most neglected thing, I think, in the life of Christians that's in this world right now is prayer. You know when Christians get serious about prayer? When problems come. Yeah. God don't hear nothing from some of us for sometimes a week on end or even longer until a problem comes. And then we get serious about prayer. And then we say, I feel like he don't hear me. He hears you, it just took a little time since you talked to him. You got to have prayer. You know what? Religious people pray little and loud. Do you ever notice a religious person? Boy, they get up here in front of somebody. Button their tongue. Rear back and they pray loud. With no power. Until God ain't in it for a mile. Religious people pray little and loud. You know what Christians do? They pray much and often. God's not hard hearing. Most gracious Heavenly Father. Sometimes I just pray, God help me. I'm having a problem. God, I've got people that are friends and people that are members of my church and people that are members of my family that's going through some hard times, God. I can't help them, but God, I'm asking you to come in the gap and to help them. Amen. That's a prayer, but for some reason Christians don't feel like we need it till we're in a jam. Prayer teaches us discipline. It takes discipline to pray. Did you know that? We're not 4 years old anymore. Now lay me down to sleep. and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Nothing wrong with that prayer. It's a good one. But we're to grow in this word and in his will and what he's designed for us. And we ought to be able to talk to our Father a whole lot more than that on behalf of others. Prayer drives away our doubts. You got a bunch of doubts in your life? Pray. Get in your prayer closet. Stay in the prayer closet and pray until God takes away and drives away those doubts. You ever doubt, Brother Tom? Yeah, but the first shot of doubt, I run to the closet. I run to the closet. You know what I do? It'll carry you through the valleys. Prayer will. You ever got in a mess, or maybe you was in a mess and you didn't cause a mess? But maybe because some of them are your friends or something, you're caught up in the mess. You know what I'll do? That's a valley. And that's a hard valley sometimes. But prayer will carry you through it, sister. It'll get you through it. You know what else it'll do? It will take you to the mountaintop. Sometimes we get to get up on the mountaintop. How do you get up on the mountaintop if you're not turning the pages that God wants to fill out? How do you do that? How do you do that? Something else it does is, you know, when you truly pray, filled with the power of God, you know it brings fear into the enemy. God gives you the power to pray in the Holy Ghost, and Satan fears you when you're doing that. He fears you a lot more than he did that goat filled up the dynamite. Because he's afraid something's about to explode, and he can't handle it when it does. We must open the pages of sacrifice. You know something? God don't always just give us an easy road, does he? Sometimes there's sacrifice involved. In Romans 12, chapter number 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is, after all, just your reasonable service. Can I tell you something? We owe God everything. We owe God all of us. We owe God our family. We owe God our possessions. We owe God every breath of air we take. I was thinking one day, you know, God made Adam and Eve innocent. And he made Adam and Eve to be with him in paradise, in fellowship forever. But we messed it up, didn't we? Our ancestors messed it up. And so God straightened it up to where we had a life here to where he could still love us and love on us, didn't he? Amen. I mean, he fixed it. But you know something else he did? He loved you and me so much, so very much, that I believe he looked over at God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, and he said, you know, that short lifetime ain't enough for me to love him. I want to love them forever. And so he fixed it to where you and I could have eternal life, and he could love us and love on us throughout the ages, not without end. Amen. That may not bother you, but that tears me up. Brother Lawson, he loves us that much. Amen. One lifetime, 7 years wasn't enough. Let's give him eternal life again. Let's love them forever. Amen. And ever and ever. And let's dote on them forever and ever. And you won't know what dote means. It means make a big deal about you. Knowing that, I think we ought to be willing to sacrifice things to him. Well, is there examples of sacrificing? Yeah, I believe Joseph sacrificed, didn't he? And Joseph hadn't done nothing wrong. Shipped off to Egypt. He paid a sacrifice so that others could benefit from it. Moses was just a baby, fixing to be killed. His mama had to put him in an ark, launch him,
And he grew up in the house of Pharaoh, and he had the best. He was the best educated person among them. He had everything a man could desire, except for the will of God. What did Moses do?
The Bible says it clear.
He chose to be identified with those slaves that God loved. And I guess maybe the greatest sacrifice, no doubt about it, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being God, being worshipped? I mean, able to exist outside of time. In fact, he made time for you and me so we could exist with him. But he came and he sacrificed that glory. He took your pain, your punishment, my pain, my punishment, all your sin and all my sin, when he knew no sin, and he sacrificed that even to the point of giving up the ghost and dying so that you and I might go free. That don't do something for you. You need to, I hate to say it, you better kick the foundation. Why is it so quiet? Finally, we need to open the pages of praise and worship. And if you will, and I'll be closing after this, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20, and I'll read a few verses to you and show you what praise and worship can do truly from the heart. In verse 18, it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Now here was three enemies coming against him. Face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, doing what? Worshiping him. Not playing with worship, worshiping him. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, in other words, he got them together and had a little talk with them, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the enemy, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now look at verse 22. And when they began to sing, praise and worship speaks in a breakout, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were against Judah, and they were smitten. The moment they really got praise in their heart, the moment they really began to worship, the hammer of God fell, and he smote them. And they didn't even have to fight anything. You know, a lot of us Christians think that you can only praise God when everything's right. You can only praise him when you got plenty of money and the bills are paid. You can only praise him when your health's good. You can only praise him when your children aren't acting up. You can only praise him when everybody's being nice to you and pretending they love you. You can only praise him. That's not true. I heard an old preacher back when I was a younger preacher, he said, sometimes you just got to praise on credit. You know what? I was so young, I didn't quite catch that good then. But I'm older now. And these times it didn't look good. Matter of fact, it looked like it's about all over. Matter of fact, I was looking at just as a time with Parkinson's. I mean, that's not a good thing to look down, folks. You know what I did? I just praised. I just said, I don't know why, and I don't need to know why. I just know that you love me, and everything that's going on for my good and your glory. Are you super saint, Tom? No. No, I've just been through a thing or time or two. And I said, Lord, whatever your will is, I accept it. and I just praised him. You know what it did? God looked down upon me, Brother Roger, and gave me a little more time to do the work of God. Folks, sometimes you just got to praise me. It don't depend on what's going on. It depends on where your heart is and how much of the book that you're looking at of God's life for you, you're letting into your soul. The people in Judah filed out rank and file. Don't you think Ammi thought that was crazy? They got a bunch of singers coming out for them. We're fixing to kill them. They marched out facing the Lord. And I believe it's like what takes place when the Holy Spirit gets in the middle of anything. I think it got a little bit wild on that. I think they were grinning as they were marching toward the enemy. And Ammi was grinning because they thought, easy picking. But the enemy wasn't grinning in just a little while because they prayed on credit. They praised on credit. They marched on credit. They stood on credit because their credit was backed by the Most High God. And Michael's your daughter took a step of praise for the Lord. She found it in his book. And look what happened. God didn't disrespect Tom Berry. I'm not. God respected a heart of praise that trusted in him. Folks, I want you to know something. We need to open the book that God has for us. He's got a plan. God never does anything without an exact plan. The problem with us is we ain't in on the plan. We're going to help God out. Or we're going to run from what God wants us to do. Either way, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And we can't prosper with sin. That's a simple message. I didn't hear much shouting, but I'm old enough to know that don't mean preaching went on. Now, I'm going to ask you a question before Brother Lawson comes up and I'll pray for you. How many can look in your heart tonight? I say, Brother Tom, I'm following the book. What God wrote for me, everything he willed for me, everything he planned for me, I'm right in the middle of that. If you're there, I don't reckon you need to come to the altar, but I need to spend some time with you, and I'd like to fellowship with you a while because I've not fulfilled all that. Do you want the goodness of God? Do you want the peace of God? Do you want the power of God? Do you want direction? Do you want protection? Do you want to be able to change the lives of other folks? Do you want your life not to be as empty as it is now? Well, guess what? I just told you about the book. He has a plan. The altar will be open. I'm not going to drag you up here. I think we need to hang on to God and just stick with him and do what he says for our life. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach tonight, Lord. It's kind of hard, I think, in a little bit. But God, it was direct, and it's for our good and your glory. God, we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. From all intents and look at what's going on around this world, God, I believe with all my heart we're approaching the end of it for your children, the church. God, help us finish. Help us finish full of the Holy Spirit and God loving you with everything we got in us. Because, God, you love us with everything you have. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.